The reading will be found in the Church Bibles on page 119. The Holy Gospel is written in the 20th chapter of John, beginning at verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Here ends the gospel.
Thank you, Annie. We will now say the creed together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in the one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, Light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascendeth into heaven. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Simon will now bring us our talk.
As we remain standing, let's pray together. Lord, we're aware of the last line of the hymn we've just sung, that on this feast of Christ the King, we look forward in his name to the day that we shall know even as we are known. And so may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be now in this place acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Please do be seated. It's really lovely to see you, to be together this morning as we draw our Jesus series to a close with a sermon on that passage from John chapter 20 this morning. Do keep it open in front of you, page 199. Over the last couple of months, if you've been here in our morning services, you'll know that we've been looking at a whole range of questions to do with Jesus. Who is he? Why did he die? Where is he now? Did he really rise again? What does he want with me? And this morning, how can I know him? If you've missed any of those sermon series, they're all recorded on our website. Go to the latest media section at the bottom of the website. You'll find them all there, either if you wanted to listen to them again, if you missed any of them, or if you wanted to send the link to a friend. And it might be that you want to take away this sheet this morning. It's been included in your service sheet. Joe Morris has done a really helpful job week by week preparing these sheets, not only for our small groups, but equally for us to take away if you'd like to reflect on the sermon as you go away from church this morning. The series all kicked off in the beginning of October, in John chapter 1. We've been looking through John's Gospel together and with some majestic words for this Feast of Christ the King Day. Let me remind you of how it all started. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. John chapter 1 reminds me of one of the more unusual evenings I have spent out. Around the dinner table of beef casserole, which was very tasty, was just me and two professors of physics. One of them, Oxford's leading professor of astrophysics, Stephen Hawking's opposite number. For me, this was a somewhat daunting conversation. The casserole was simple, but I didn't do GCSE physics or A-level physics. I was way out of my league. But they're a Christian couple. I actually bumped into Catherine in town just a couple of weeks ago, and I'd unashamedly asked them to invite me over because I wanted to know how two world-renowned astrophysicists would read John chapter 1. And they said to me as we munched our beef that what stood out for them as physicists was the fact that John chapter 1 talks about knowledge, or logic, I guess. The word logos is the one in Greek that John uses. And it talks about light. And they said that without light, there is no knowledge or no information. And as we talked through the principles of physics to do with light and darkness and information, it was clear that they weren't just scientific facts that they were talking me through. They weren't just dry bits of intellectual information, but they had a relationship with the facts. They loved the facts. They loved physics. They loved astrophysics because the facts did more than amuse their minds. The facts fundamentally enlightened them to God. The heady facts helped their searching hearts to know Jesus, to know the one that John chapter 1 describes as the logos, the logic, the knowledge, the information. This was head and heart, imperfect and really engaging relationship. Today's question, as we round off this Jesus series, is how can I know Jesus? And it's a question that is not just a question for our heads. We're not simply asking the question, how can I know more about Jesus, as if he was Henry VIII, someone who I might be able to learn about but not really know. Certainly, the facts about Jesus are all really important, but we're asking more than that. We're asking, how can I know Jesus? How can I have a relationship with Jesus that goes beyond my head and actually affects my heart and my soul and therefore my whole life? And if you're asking that question, or if you've got your own doubts about Jesus at the end of this series, then you're certainly not alone. Our reading from John chapter 20 introduced us to Doubting Thomas, perhaps a rather unfortunate nickname. Thomas just seemed to be in search of some decent evidence. But in this whole area of knowing Jesus, Thomas does begin by making one of the classic mistakes, and it's there for us in John chapter 20, verse 24. You might want to look down at it on page 119. Here's what John tells us. But Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. Jesus had just risen back to life. But he said to them, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. Thomas's first classic mistake is to think that the process of getting to know something revolves around him. Unless I put my finger. Thomas puts himself at the heart of knowing Jesus. It's a classic mistake of the Enlightenment. 300 years or so ago, you might be aware that Western universities were gripped by the Enlightenment, which had the effect in many ways of taking God out of the picture and putting humans at the centre of knowledge. Knowing something became all about the hard graft that you and I can put in on the evidence to know about something. Knowledge was all knowing about. At Oxford University, where Stephen and Catherine work, the motto is, "The Lord is my light." It comes from one of the Psalms. The Lord is my light. But the Enlightenment had the effect in many ways of cutting our university ties with God, the Creator, and the one who is therefore the source of all light and all information and all knowledge. We need to get this clear. There is absolutely nothing wrong with evidence and with working hard to understand the facts that God has placed around us. He's obviously given us brains to use for a simple reason. But if I put myself at the center of trying to answer questions of life, the universe, and everything, I end up trying to look for big answers to big questions, holding only the pocket torch of my own brain power. On this feast of Christ the King, God says, all knowledge comes from me. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you want to know me, then ask me to switch the lights on and to help me to truly help you to understand who I am. And you'll see, not just with your head, but you'll see with your heart as well. Thomas's second classic mistake is to assume that seeing is believing. Just look back down at those words from verse 24 onwards. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, unless I put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. When I was talking to sixth formers in a school context, when I was teaching, they'd often quite boldly say, well, I believe in Jesus. All I really want him to do is to pop up in front of me and to do a miracle. If I could see a miracle, then I'd believe. I can remember sitting next to one sixth former discussing that. And I challenged him and said, but would you really believe if Jesus did that? So you see, by this point in John's Gospel, Thomas has already seen Jesus turn water into wine. He's seen him heal an official's son. He's seen him feed 5,000 people with just a boy's packed lunch. He's seen him heal a blind man who was born blind. He's seen him raise his friend Lazarus back to life from being very dead indeed. It seems that if Thomas sees all of that and doesn't believe, that there seems to be more to believing than just seeing. Seeing is partly believing, but it seems that there's something more to it. Knowing is more than knowing about. So as the risen Jesus stands before Thomas and invites him not just to see, but to touch, it's really interesting that there's actually no indication that Thomas takes Jesus up on his invitation this time. It's left opaque. We don't know whether he does or he doesn't. You see, the head knowledge that's been so important for Thomas up to this point, but which hasn't been enough to get him to believe, something's happening in Thomas. As we read through the passage, it's clear that head knowledge is becoming heart knowledge as well. And so we arrive at verse 28 at the bottom of page 119. And Thomas says, not with his head alone, but with his heart, my Lord and my God. So how can I know Jesus? That's the question we're looking at this morning. How can I know Jesus? Well, according to Jesus, physically seeing him doesn't seem to be a necessary part of the deal. If we have a look over the page 120 and verse 29, here's what John says. Jesus said to him, blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe. We've said that that doesn't mean that evidence is unimportant. John chapter 20 verse 30 says this, now Jesus did many other signs or miracles in the presence of his disciples which are not written in this book, but these facts are written so that you might come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The evidence of the things that actually happened is reliably recorded in this book. The evidence is important. But that evidence, John says, is not just for the understanding of our minds, but also for the belief of our hearts. Back in verse 22, there's that rather weird incident where Jesus breathed on his disciples. I'm not sure that we necessarily go around and do that in polite society. But he said to his disciples, receive the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that Jesus and God the Father share, which Jesus and God the Father now share with their followers. And in John chapter 16, just before he died, in the week before he died, here's what Jesus says about the Spirit. He says, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Advocate or the Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Let's just knit all of that together. How can I know Jesus? Well, firstly, it begins by realizing that all true knowledge, and so all true knowing of God, starts with him. He's our creator. He's the one who first brought light to the darkness. He's the one who gave us plenty of evidence. The heavens declare the glory of God. He's the one who's given us plenty of evidence in the person of Jesus to help us to know him. Knowledge starts with God. Secondly, knowing Jesus means encountering him, and encountering him with all our doubts and with all our questions, encountering him wherever we are, just like Thomas coming to Jesus and kind of blurting it out, whatever we want to say to him. Thirdly, knowing Jesus means allowing his spirit to teach not just our heads, but our hearts as well, and asking him to open the eyes of our hearts as well as our minds to who Jesus is. And finally, knowing Jesus is all about accepting, in the power of that same Spirit, Jesus' instruction to Thomas, which is also the instruction to our world and to us today. Stop doubting and believe. I wonder if you know Jesus, or I wonder if you just know about Jesus. I wonder if you don't know Jesus yet, whether you would like to know Jesus or to begin a journey towards knowing Jesus. I wonder if you do know Jesus, whether you would like, with his continuing ongoing enlightenment, to know him better and better. If you would, then I'm going to pray a prayer now, and wherever you're at, you might like to make it your own by joining with the Amen at the end. Let me pray with us now. Creator God, I acknowledge that you're the source of all true enlightenment. Thank you for the evidence that you've given me about you in your creation and in your Son Jesus, who lived and died and rose again for me. I come to you now, wherever I find myself, perhaps with doubts or questions, perhaps with thoughts of